welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Fox Sports on the Road. I'm your host, Michael Cohen, in a chilly and cold Saturday morning here in New Jersey. To all of our listeners here, both in Central Jersey on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey and down south in Fox Sports Jersey Shore, good morning, and we're glad you could join us here on this Saturday. So, a lot going on right now in the wide world of sports. We, of course, have Rutgers coming up in just a few moments, as they'll be taking on Michigan State at Madison Square Garden. It is the second time in the last 3 years that Rutgers and the Spartans of Michigan State have met at MSG. Last time, Rutgers won that game. We'll see how they do this time, obviously. This is a big one for Rutgers. They are 10-10. They need the win. They need the win in the Big Ten. They're 3-5 in Big Ten competition so far this year, as they're trying to pull themselves back into the mix for an opportunity for postseason play and obviously for the Big Ten tournament. We'll talk more about that in just a moment, but of course there's other things going on in the world of sports. Obviously we have the NFL Championship Weekend, AFC-NFC. You got Washington and Philadelphia going at it in the NFC. You got Buffalo, Kansas City getting it together in the AFC in what should be a spectacular final in the AFC. And we lead into the big game in a couple of weeks. But here locally, there was some noise made, and that was by the Jets, of course. The Jets seem to always make noise, even when they're not playing, even in the offseason, as they finally settle on a head coach and a general manager. It is true. It is true. The Jets picking Aaron Glenn as their next head coach and Darren Mogi as their next general manager. They're going to pair the two of them together. How we got here is certainly, well, I guess kind of atypical of the New York Jets, kind of bizarre, kind of wild, kind of crazy, but we are here. And I know there's a lot of opinions out there about this hire for the New York Jets. A lot of them, some people, I think for the most part, the general opinion from people is that, hey, they're not that excited. Some people are concerned. Another first-year head coach, and now a first-year general manager. How is this going to work? This is a team that needed experience. We've heard all those things before. Now, I'll say this. I get it. The Jet fan has been kicked, has been punched, has been knocked around for a very long time. And the 2024 season was the ultimate kick right in the solar plex, obviously, when you have a healthy Aaron Rodgers and then everything just kind of implodes around him. It never gets going, and the season spirals out of control. The coach gets fired, and Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas gets fired. Articles about the owner and being a maniacal owner. It was a wild season as the team finished 5-12. I get it. You're cynical. I'm going to try to give you a little bit of reason for some optimism here with Aaron Glenn. And I understand he's another first-year head coach. I understand he's another defensive coordinator-turned-head coach. You know, no one had a problem with defensive coordinators being head coach until it became a problem. Think about that for a second, especially with regards to the Jets, because since 1997, when they hired Bill Parcells, 8 of the last 9 coaches the Jets have hired have come from the defensive side of the ball. And really, no one has made an issue of it until now. And it's only because 2 of the last 3 coaches the Jets have hired were defensive coaches, Todd Bowles and Robert Saleh, and it didn't work out at all, especially with Saleh. It didn't work out at all. He only won 20 games in 20 times in 56 attempts. That's it. So the thought is, hey, look, you're going into the new NFL in today's day and age of high-flying offense, RPOs, quarterbacks rolling out of the pocket and throwing on the run. And you have quarterbacks who are so big, i.e. Josh Allen, and that they can't seemingly be stopped. Why wouldn't you try to get an offensive genius, an offensive guru as a head coach? Well, here's the reason. And the reason why I think it is for the Jets anyway, they want someone who can manage and to be a leader and to delegate and to hold people accountable. And this is not a knock on, let's say, a Ben Johnson who wasn't interested in the job, or Liam Cohen, who apparently had his very short list, and we all know what happened with him, that very bizarre situation going on in Jacksonville, as he didn't want the job because of Trent Baalke, then Jaguars fired him, and then he went back to Tampa Bay, did Cohen, and then decided, hey, look, Jaguars fired the GM, I'm going to go back and do a 180 and go back there. So, you know, certainly weren't going to bring him in. And then you look at some of the other names, offensive coaches, Matt Nagy, Arthur Smith, these guys were head coaches. They weren't very successful. There's no guarantee in anything, all right? So there's no guarantee that a defensive-minded coach can be successful. There's certainly no guarantee an offensive coach can be successful. So who's to say that Aaron Glenn can't win, that he can't come out here and find a way to get this franchise moving in the right direction? His pedigree is impeccable. He comes from the Bill Parcells tree. He comes from the Sean Payton tree. He comes, obviously, from that Detroit Lions staff with Dan Campbell. He has played here in New York. He understands what it's like to go through the gauntlet of the good and the bad in New York. He was on those 1-15 teams with Rich Kotite. He was on that 12-4 team that went to the conference championship game in 1998 under Bill Parcells. He has seen good and bad, and he was a good player, was Aaron Glenn. So he understands what the market is. That's already one in his corner. The fact that he has wide support from some of the top names and top minds in football is another one, as I just mentioned as well. And unlike Saleh, who, yes, they may be both defensive coaches by trade, but Saleh was kind of a player's coach, right? He really never got a sense when he was in San Francisco that he was a disciplinarian or someone that was going to hold guys accountable. He was that kind of rah-rah guy, kind of a cheerleader in a lot of ways. You also the image of him, we all remember before he became the Jets coach, of him, you know, jumping up and down on the San Francisco sideline and, you know, veins popping out of his head. But when he came here, very taciturn, very quiet, and kind of delegated a lot of responsibility, didn't get involved in the offense. You get the sense, if you listen to Aaron Glenn, if you listen to his press conferences, whenever he's asked about what kind of coach he's going to be, he is going to be involved in offense. He says so. There's an article out there on ESPN that details how he spent a better part of the last 4 years studying offense under different offensive coordinators to get an idea of what's involved. So this is a guy who's put himself out there from the very get-go to try to become that complete coach. So to me, it doesn't matter whether the coach is from the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. It doesn't matter. It's about how they're able to orchestrate the entire organization, to orchestrate this position, to galvanize the organization, the players, and to keep everybody on the same page, and to really have a pulse on everything that's going on. He has to manage, right? You know, it's kind of like whenever a baseball manager is named. I remember let's just go back recently, just a couple of years ago, when Carlos Mendoza got the New York Mets job, right? Nobody really knew who Carlos Mendoza was. We knew he was the Yankees bench coach. We knew he had been in the Yankees farm system for a long time as a coach, but that was about it. And then when he got the Mets managerial job, taking over for former Manager of the Year award winner multiple times in multiple places, and Buck Showalter, and everyone's like, who's this guy? Well, Carlos Mendoza in year one showed you what he is as he took the Mets to the National League Championship Series. So you have to give it a chance. On paper, it may not look great, but you have to give it a chance. As far as Darren Mogi is concerned, yes, I'm a little concerned about, a first-year general manager taking over, especially first-year general manager and a first-year head coach. Not ideal in any stretch of the imagination, but again, it comes from Denver, comes from good stock, comes from that Sean Payton tree. Has been seeing the ups and downs going on in Denver and has learned a lot going on in how front office should work. Obviously, it's not ideal because usually you want your general manager picked and signed, sealed, and delivered before you ever get to your head coach. We'll see, because these two, Glenn and Mogi, don't exactly know each other per se. They have the common acquaintance, if you will, in Sean Payton, but that's just about it. We'll see how those two work together. I would think if the Jets were smart, I know it's asking a lot sometimes with the Jets, but if they were smart, they would get someone to help out. Get a senior executive, someone who has general manager experience, to be kind of a CEO, a president of football operations, to make sure there is no issues going forward. That's what they should do. We'll see if they actually fall through with that. So I'm not sitting here clicking my heels and waving pom-poms. I'm saying give it a chance and see what happens, because hey, you never know what may happen. So we'll see what happens here with the Jets moving forward. Folks, we'll take a very short break. We're back after this. And welcome back, folks, here to Fox Sports on the Road. Michael Cohen here with you. Just a few notes here as we are moving right along here on this Saturday morning. Of course, Rutgers taking on Michigan State this afternoon at 1:30. We'll have that game here on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey and Fox Sports Jersey Shore. Of course, a big match between two Big Ten teams. A big one for Rutgers as they sit at 10-10 on the year, 3-5 overall. Last time Rutgers saw Michigan State in this opportunity a couple years ago, Rutgers won that game. Now, of course, these two teams are very different now. Michigan State's been playing really good basketball. In fact, they are 16-2 are the Spartans coming in, and they're undefeated in the Big Ten at 7-0. Of course, they are going, of course, if you're doing just on betting lines itself, they're going to be very heavily favored in the game. But Rutgers, with these two big-time young freshmen coming in, and both Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, it has not been an easy season for them, of course, with injuries and illness that have taken place throughout the course of the year. Still, those two are approaching historic rates for their scoring output among Rutgers freshmen. Each are on the verge of top seven scoring seasons by true freshman Scarlet Knight. Harper has 348 points. He's 8 points away from surpassing Ricky Shields from 2002. And Ace Bailey, 339, stands just 16 points behind. So those two guys, even with some of the inconsistency they have gone through this year, still two of the most dynamic young freshmen in college basketball, and two guys that a lot of people think could be making their way to the NBA draft after just 1 year. That's what, okay. And I know it's tough. That's been part of the difficulty this year for Rutgers, you know, trying to build a team for Steve Peichel that is on a very short leash with these two very young guys. But Rutgers, if they can get some momentum going here, can get themselves back into the mix here in the Big Ten tournament. Let's take a moment here to listen to Coach Peichel after the loss the other day to Penn State.
He's played great. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough time to have that as a one possession game right there, but you know, we lost the game, you know, turning the ball over. That was in, you know, they got 27 free throw attempts to our 14. So we lost the game that way. But they're all teaching moments. We've got four starters that are freshmen. We try to teach a lot.
Back to Brian here in the front.
I guess what do you tell Ace after, you know, moments like that, you know, two texts in the last 5 minutes?
Just keep learning. I mean, you know, don't let your emotions get the best of you down the stretch. But Ace played hard. I mean, he played really well. You just got to, you know, control your emotions. Not a doubt.
You said guys were banged up. Anybody besides Dylan dealing with something?
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of banged up. It's that time of the year. I mean, he couldn't go back in at the end. So, you know, they're all kind of banged up. It's that, you know, it's that time. We got to kind of fight through it. It doesn't get easier in this league. You know, I think Michigan State next.
Penn State's a team that doesn't really shoot a lot of threes. They made a ton in the first half. How did you guys quickly adjust to that and, you know, try to get back into the game?
Yeah, it's not what they really do. They're a downhill driving team, but they made threes. You know, I watched them play Purdue here. They made threes in that game too. So they've had games like that, and, you know, at home they shoot the ball better than on the road. You know, they got some good players too. Hicks is always a guy I worry about, and you know, the fact that DeLeon was 4-for-4, that, you know, that's not what he usually does. He's usually a downhill guy getting to the rim. But, you know, to his credit, you know, he got some and he made them.
Coach, what do you think about their defense gave you guys such fits and led to so many turnovers tonight?
Yeah, I mean, they are handsy, and, you know, it's Ace. I mean, he got five steals, so he created five of those on his own. You know, you got to be smart around them. We threw an outlet pass right to him one time, you know, just some different ways he gets you. But, you know, we got to take care of the ball better. That was a big emphasis going into the game, and we did not, you know, do a great job in that. And that's, you know, that's how they win games. And we gave them 17, and that's our season high. But to their credit, their defense was good, and they caused those turnovers.
But obviously, Ace Bailey with 30 points in the game. But what's the team kind of struggle offensively? Talk about what you saw from them and what led to the offensive struggles.
You know, I thought, you know, in the first half we shot the ball, you know, 56%. So I don't know if it was the turnovers that caused our points to be where they were. I mean, if we just had our normal turnovers, which is 10, we would have got more shots up, been able to rebound more, maybe get to the free throw line a little bit more. But it was 100% the turnovers. You know, we would have scored 80, 85 points in this basketball game if we had our normal. But, you know, to their credit.
24/7 over here.
Steve, for those of us who don't cover you every day, it seems like for years you've had eight
50-year seniors, like all these veteran players. How much of a challenge is it going with kind of such a young roster, especially with two kids who are doing so much for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a new world. I think this is kind of more what the future kind of looks like in college sports. But, you know, we had our bench guys came off, and, you know, Zach Martini and Jeremiah gives us good minutes, and, you know, Emmanuel, like, so we got a nice blend, you know, and we're just trying to get these guys, you know, situated in roles that, you know, make them, you know, look really good and play really well. So it's a new team. It's every year is going to be like this. You got to kind of figure them out. And I think we're headed in the right direction. Dylan Grant's given us some good minutes as a freshman, but not enough today on the road for sure.
How important is it going to be to bounce back from this and have, you know, a massive game against Michigan State at the Garden? Just how important do you think that next game is going to be for you guys?
I mean, in this league, every game is important. So the next game is important. The game after that's important. They're all important. It's a really good league with really good coaches and really good players. So, you know, every game is important. And, you know, you see teams' records and see teams win. This is a tough league. Every game's a two-point game, especially as you move forward. So, you know, games are decided by, you know, small margins. So every game is important. None more bigger than the other. All big. You try to win a game in this league and on the road at home. It's a hard league.
And as we continue again, Rutgers taking on Michigan State again at 1:30. We'll have that game right here on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey. Now, women's basketball. They lost to the number one team in the nation the other day. They lost to UCLA 84-66. Look, Rutgers was right in the game. They gave the Bruins a game all the way throughout, and they got another big game from Destiny Adams, who had a double-double, 15 points, 13 boards. Kaylin McMiller, freshman, 17 points in the game. So even with that, Rutgers loses again. They are now 0-9 in the Big Ten so far this season. They have now dropped to 8-12 overall, and they have lost, what, now 8 in a row on the women's side. They have not been playing good enough basketball for quite some time, and the schedule just is not going to ease up anytime soon. That's the way it is in the Big Ten. They got Penn State coming up on Sunday. Next week they have Illinois coming in here, and then they have Indiana, Purdue coming up February 9th. So it's all these Big Ten games, and Rutgers needs to get some wins if they want to have a chance to get back into the mix for the Big Ten tournament. Otherwise, they could be the outside looking in come the early beginnings of March. So let's take a listen in to Coach Coquise Washington right here on Fox Sports New Jersey.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Good.
I know it's a tough game. You guys play tough. Tell me about Lauren Betts is a stretch five. You guys made her work for those points. How do you feel about the efforts, about how you kept Lauren Betts really kind of quiet, and she had to work for everything she got?
I don't know what game you was watching. That wasn't no quiet 25 to me. It was pretty loud and boisterous. She's really, really good. And she's definitely a main reason why they're number one in the country. You know, you throw all kind of defenses at her, you know, zone, man, double, single, triple. And, you know, she just finds a way to get to her spots, and she's got great touch around the basket. I mean, she doesn't miss. She's really, really, really good. And, you know, I thought we fought as well as we can. Obviously, we had a height disadvantage guarding her. And, you know, we threw different looks at her. And I was really proud of the way our kids fought with that height disadvantage. And she's really, really good, so she was still able to kind of control the paint, especially on the offensive end.
Coach, just to follow up on that, I mean, she's sort of an old-school big that stays around the basket, which you don't see much of anymore.
Yeah.
Can you think, I mean, you've been around for a couple of years, a minute. Can you think of other bigs like her that you might have coached against or coached yourself over time?
I mean, this is really, really old-school, but, I mean, you think about – you know, some of the players in the WNBA, you know, when you think about Alisa Leslie or you think about players like that who, you know, their first impact on the game was, you know, 2 feet from the rim. And I just think that she has that presence. And she's only a junior, so doggone it, we got to go there next year and watch the same show. But I think she'll, you know, she has a chance to go down as one of the best post players to play in college basketball. So she's really good.
Looking at the defense as a whole, they start out on a quick run, go to a zone, then it kind of slows down. Then the second quarter, they kind of find their mm-hmm. spot again. What'd you think of the full 40 minutes of defense as a whole?
Well, you know, I think when you play a team like UCLA, that, you know, they have a lot of weapons, you know. So when we slowed down their interior game, they did a good job of throwing it around and knocking down some threes and kind of stretch the lead. And then they also did a really good job of, they were really effective on the offensive glass, using their size on the offensive glass. So, you know, that's the thing about a team that's really as good as they are, is they have different ways to attack you. And I think we saw that, you know, at different stretches during the game. Having said that, I thought that we really fought, and we tried to make adjustments to what they were doing, and they worked for a while. And just the fight that we had to continue to compete, you know, against a team that is just that, you know, that they're that deep, they're that talented. And so, again, I was proud of the effort that we gave to compete.
And Destiny with another double-double tonight, but she sinks three three-pointers today. Mm-hmm. How much has her range improved this season?
It's improved tremendously. You know, I think about when she came last year, you know, she wasn't really shooting threes at all. And so, I mean, it's something that she's worked on, she's had in her game, but just to have the confidence now to go out there and to look for them. She actually called the play to get a three. You know, she was like, run this for me. And we ran it, and she knocked down a three. So that just speaks to the confidence that she has in her game, and how much work she's put into growing her game. So she is not just a threat on the block, not just a threat off the bounce, but also adding the three-point shot to her game as well.
Coach, to follow up on that, you know, you just compliment a little bit of Bet's game and, you know, how she contributes on the floor. Conversely to that, Adams recording a double-double against mm-hmm. Bet's and company. Yeah. You know, is this one of those games you kind of point to and say, you know, for many who may have not believed she was the real deal, played against, you know, exceptional mm-hmm. talent enough, is this one of those games you point to and say, you know, she's arrived and she could play with the best of them?
I think absolutely, to answer your question, yes. But I don't think she arrived today. You know, I think, you know, Destiny Adams has shown throughout this whole season that she's one of the best forwards in the country. And she can play against anybody. She can be effective and impactful against anybody. And what she has learned to do is how to tailor her game to the defense at hand. So tonight, you know, as Joey mentioned, she playing against 6'7". Lauren Betts, let me take my game out to the perimeter. Let me take my game out and go off the bounce a little bit more. That speaks to her maturity. That speaks to her confidence. That speaks to the growth of her game. And she still manages to come away with 14 rebounds against, you know, one of the tallest teams in the country. She's a competitor. She's a fighter. And, you know, I hope people that watch the game can see that when you watch her play. You see all those things that's going to make her, I think, impactful on the next level.
All right, folks, we are about to wrap it up here on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey. Want to thank you all for tuning in and listening, but we do have one more thing. We got some picks here for our championship Sunday. You got Philadelphia against Washington. I'm going to roll with Philadelphia to win against Washington. I think it's a bit of a Washington's had a great run, but it's a big stage for them. They haven't been here in a very, very long time. Philadelphia has the experience. They got Saquon Barkley. They have Jalen Hurts. I think it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a little bit too much to handle for Washington coming the second half. I can see some mistakes by Washington late, and I think Philadelphia will find a way to pull away and win. The other one, Kansas City and Buffalo, is probably the game we've all been waiting for. Will Kansas City find a way to win? Will the referees help them? Will Buffalo finally win on the road in Kansas City? I'm going to say no. I think Kansas City will find a way again. It'll be controversial. It'll be close. It'll be epic. But they will find a way to win 27-24 over Buffalo and make their way to the big game. So for the second time in now 3 years, we'll have, yes, I know, Kansas City and Philadelphia in the big game now in the world. Thanks for tuning in and listening. We'll talk to you next time.